Whenever we think of Thomas, the disciple and apostle, what adjective springs to mind? Doubting. Now, I feel Thomas may have had something of a bad press for the last two millennia. Yes, of course, he did doubt. He did doubt the reality of the resurrection. We've just heard about that in John's Gospel. Was he the only one? I want to take you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, which says, when they came back from the tomb, they told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter then got up and ran to the tomb. Do you know, that sounds an awful lot like, I won't believe until I see it with my own eyes. Now, there seems little doubt how much Thomas loved Jesus, and Jesus loved Thomas. We have to remember Thomas had seen him die, and people just don't come back from the dead. There's little wonder in some ways that Thomas was sceptical when the others told him how Jesus had appeared to them in a locked room. But it was just the same when none of them believed the women when they came back from the empty tomb. Now, there's a bit of me thinks, I bet Thomas was really wishing that he'd not been absent on that first Easter evening. But of course, if he'd been there, we would not have had this wonderful account of his restoration by Jesus just a week later. But poor Thomas, what was he to think? It's impossible. I saw him die. I want it to be true, but how can it be true? I think the others are suffering from a severe case of wishful thinking. I want to believe, but unless I see him, unless I see the wounds, how can I believe? Then, as we heard a week later, Jesus appears again and Thomas is there, and we know what happened. Straight away, Jesus said, hey, Thomas, look, see my hands and side. It's really me. Do not doubt, but believe. I wonder how Thomas felt. Well, I think we can get some idea from his instant reaction, my Lord and my God. He is restored to his Lord and God. This last week we celebrated St. Peter. We remember how Peter was also restored by Jesus at the Sea of Galilee after his threefold denial. It's true, as we read the Gospels, that we see the disciples messed up quite a lot. They certainly messed up during Jesus' trial and crucifixion. But Jesus loved them, and he restored them. Because we must not forget that these, and they were very young, fallible humans, would be the basis of the foundation of the church. And despite being so few in number, despite the most massive persecution in those early years, Christianity thrived. Christianity grew. And we, in that sense, are the continuing generations that witness to the truth. But I want to go back to that meeting when Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen, but have come to believe. Have you ever had doubts? I won't go around with a microphone, but it might be interesting. Because it's a feature of the Christian walk for most, not all, but for most of us. And it can take many forms. It just seems too incredulous. Why did God let that happen? How can it be true? What if the Bible is wrong? Is it wrong to doubt? Well, yes, doubting is a sin, but it's a sin along with so many others that we commit every day. What is important is how we deal with it. Peter and the others didn't believe at the beginning either, but ran to the tomb to see for themselves. Thomas doubted and Jesus met him face to face to restore him. If we doubt, Jesus will want to meet us through the doubt. He will want to bring us through that doubt to certainty again. And that meeting will be different for each and every one of us. I've so often heard folk say, well, how can I know it's true? I mean, if I could meet Jesus and sit down and talk to him, well, then it would be different, then I'd know. But of course, if that happened, there would be no sense in faith, because it would be clear and obvious. Jesus wants us to believe and trust and have faith, even though we have not seen. Remember, Hebrews 11 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we have not seen. And then Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, yet have come to believe. There's a lot of evidence, written evidence, about this man called Jesus, who the Romans put to death at the request of the Jewish leaders because he was stirring up trouble. But did he come back from the dead? Was he the Son of God? Is he still alive today? And those are the questions that only faith can answer. So going back to Thomas, he became a great apostle. There is very good evidence that in his own lifetime he took the gospel message to modern-day Iran and Eastern India. Eastern India remains a very strong and vibrant Christian community. So thank you, Thomas. Thank you for showing us the way through doubt to belief. And I want to just close with those verses we read from Ephesians. We are no longer strangers and aliens, but we are citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone. It's that foundation, including Thomas, that we are built as saints and members of the household of God. My passport says that I'm a British citizen. Actually, it still says I'm a member of the European Union, but we'll let that pass. But the real truth is that I am a citizen of the household of God. And that's really all that matters. So, citizens of heaven, know that we are one with the saints, including Thomas, held together by Jesus, our cornerstone. Jesus who leads us from doubt to certainty. Do not doubt, but believe. Amen.